healing some 16-year-old drama via the pod.
And then I'm like, then you put out a record, and this is just, oh, it's not even hard for me to stomach. Listen, I saw they had the mocktails, and I was like, they're definitely making a Shirley.
However, there was something sinister in his trousers.
That motherfucker was offsides.
What the fuck?
Too big.
It's the 413. Let's tell everybody to listen to our show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the 413 podcast. This is season 4 with the PCB peeps. Let me do a quick round the horn, introducing our first guest, introducing our first host. It's Abby.
Hi.
Followed up by our most chaotic host, it's Andy.
What's up?
Our next host thought I was talking about him on the last introduction, but it's the Wolfman himself. It's Bill.
Aroo! Yeah, what up, peeps?
Our next host is Jared.
Yo.
And I'm Eric, and we're bringing back season 4 of the 413 podcast. Excited to get back in the swing of it. We took a pretty long break. I think we forgot how to use Zoom, fumbled around a little bit. But we're putting it together. As part of our preparation for season 4, we decided to get together and have a podcast meeting in person in the Berkshires. And we met at an establishment called Antimony in Lenox. Mm-hmm. And sat down and had some food and some drinks and talked about future episodes for the podcast. Can we do a quick shout out to Antimony? I'll say it was my first time there, but really cool ambiance, pretty lively spot, had some live music. Food prices were really reasonable, and it wasn't your typical frozen bar food. It was pretty good and well put together and tasty and a good menu. So
yeah,
really good.
I go there often, and I haven't had a bad meal. I love it there. Especially the Shirley Temples, are they good?
They were good. I mean, Bill, you ordered two meals when we were there. You were like, yo, I want this and then this. And we were like, these are the two messiest items on the menu.
That's true.
I got to keep up my gimmick here.
Bill's like, I need one for the road. Give me a sandwich for the road.
Yeah, Andy shocked us all ordering, I would only assume, was 4 Shirley Temples over the course
of the... Well, the waitress brought one over. She clearly liked me the most. I didn't even have to ask. She kept bringing them over.
She saw that you drank it so fast that she brought you a refill. Andy was going to town on the Shirley Temples like nobody's business.
I will say for the non-drinkers of the podcast, they have a very nice mocktail menu. Andy just went with the children's menu.
Listen, I saw they had the mocktails, and I was like, they're definitely making a Shirley. I was like, give me Shirley Temple. All right, extra Temple in there.
Yeah, Andy did not look at the menu at all. He just said Shirley Temple.
Yeah, we were all pretty shocked by that order. And Abby had something with a lot of cucumbers in it, so I think she's eating her drink with a spoon.
I had a garnish drink.
Very garnish.
Mostly garnish.
Bill and Jared, you both had a couple beers from there. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts? Great spot.
So good. And Jared, also good call. But that was Don to something. I forgot to write down the name.
It was a beer.
Donna.
Donna Martin graduates. Yep, that was... That's the right. One.
Donna, we'll get to this later.
You say Donna the Dead? That's a drink. That'd be a great name. Love that.
October's coming.
So it was awesome to get together and have some food there. Although we found out based on the last couple of times we hung out with Andy is that if he stays out past 9 p.m., he turns into a pumpkin.
Right.
Last to show up, first to leave every time.
Always.
He's on strict house arrest from his wife. He's threatened to leave her so many times.
The police say you got to be back at a certain time. You got to be back.
And he sets his own curfew at home. It's great. Love it. There's a lot that happened in terms of pop culture. And the reason I mentioned pop culture is that this is a pop culture podcast for all intents and purposes. So we had the Olympics was a big one. And I want to just mention that because I don't know. It's something weird about the Olympics that I don't think I've ever watched them before this year. And I was like, I'm gonna really watch them. I'm gonna watch events here. And a couple funny things happen here that we definitely want to mention. But does anyone else feel like you go into any Olympic sport like as an absolute rube and like 3 minutes in you think you're a professional at judging?
1,000%. 1,000%.
Never.
Rugby sevens, like I've never seen rugby sevens until this this past Olympics. Now I'm like, I got to go to a professional league. Maybe I can become one. I don't know. Anything is possible.
I was watching diving and I was like, how the hell do they score diving? And like 3 minutes later, I was like, that dismount's going to get them no greater than a seven. Like there's no doubt. Like, are you kidding me? You see the splash on that? Like, by the way, the Chinese diving team, unbelievable how they enter the water. There's not a splash behind them. I've taken shits with a greater splash than the average Chinese diver. Just going to call it out there.
I mean, that velocity, bro.
Undefeated.
Neptune's kiss.
Yes, had plenty of those. We'll have to tag that in here. Two pretty major stories I want to ask you guys if you've heard about them. I'm sure you have. So we have the first one being Ray Gun. Is that ringing a bell? Mm.
Ray Gun, shout out
to Australia.
Oh boy.
Oh, with the okay.
With I think the Ray like Gun.
The I know PhD of, anyway. In breakdancing that. Yeah. Was like nepoed into the Olympic representation of Australia and gave like a Jamie Kennedy and Malibu's Most Wanted dance on this. Like,
I mean, I thought her breakdancing was spot on for breakdancing.
I think if it was like 1982, like not bad, but like
so bad.
Like, no, yeah, it's still bad. Really bad. 1982, like New York
hands
City.
Up. I mean, she threw a little Thriller in there. I mean, that was a throwback.
Can I
she
ask?
She did a kangaroo hop.
That's yes, that too. Kangaroo Jack. I mean, she was just referencing true. Movies and pop culture.
It was there, but here's the thing. All right, let's say you just take the full, like the full dance, and let's just say that NBC has removed the breakdancing playback from their platform. You cannot watch it anymore. They're so embarrassed. Anyway,
whoa.
And Australia had the defended her. Like, no, listen,
really.
It's because you're misogynistic. That's why you don't think she's a good breakdancer.
Oh. One, breakdancing's not even a sport. It shouldn't have been there anyways.
I disagree. That's wicked.
I don't
tough.
Think diving's a sport.
You're I agree falling. With that too. It's not a sport. Yeah, you're just falling in air.
Just kidding. The divers were amazing. That was a joke.
Wait, but the breakdancers, that's definitely a sport.
Yeah, yeah, no.
They had no uniform. At least the divers were in Speedos. I mean, there's no uniform. There's not a sport.
Skateboarding's a sport, right?
It's not a sport. You're on a freaking board with wheels.
The skateboarding was one of the best events they had. It was amazing. I watched that to death. But so hear me out. Okay, so you take the dance moves from Ray Gun. Okay. If you put it to the right music, is it good?
No.
Yes. Absolutely not.
I think there's some music out there that you could put it to that it would feel good. I'm just saying.
Like, yeah.
Like not like aggressive, but it would just make sense and it would be funny. Because it wasn't even funny, really. It was actually kind of just sad. It was like, oh, okay.
You know, that's what it reminds me of is like, you remember back in like school, like when you did not prepare for a presentation and then you just kind of throw shit out there and hopefully something sticks and you get like a C. I think that's what she's doing.
Like Andy on the podcast.
So Ray Gun here.
When you're preparing for a podcast, then you remember you didn't, and you say like, "Hey, you know, my hot take is a hot dog a sandwich." I mean,
so is Ray Gun the Andy of the Olympics? Is that what we're saying?
Oh, shit, I mean, Andy's pretty high on defending her. So
I mean, I'm that's just saying, true. I felt like she was the only one that wore a uniform, so I knew she was an athlete. The rest of the breakdancers, I said, are they just dancers? I mean, she's in a tracksuit. I can clearly see she's a 90s breakdancer.
Yeah, I mean, the fit was spot on. I'm going to say it. The fit was spot on.
Didn't she have like a visor on too?
Yeah.
Was it a Kangol hat? Kangol hat?
I felt she should have got a point. I felt the judges were rude to give her a zero because she was the only one that dressed appropriately for the competition.
Yeah, how did she dress appropriately? I think that was
if
like
we're talking extra... early 90s, absolutely.
I think that was like extra uniforms.
Oh, wait, she was from this year? I thought this was an Olympic special from the 90s. I thought it was
92 Barcelona.
92 Barcelona theme.
It kind of felt like it was a social experiment and it was just like, all right, let's see if we can get someone like awful to come on and just like make a mockery of the whole event. And then when it was like real, it was like, oh, okay.
I was convinced. No. Caitlin kept showing me clips that she was pranking me. And I was like, this is not real.
Like it's an SNL sketch, right?
Like, right, yes. I was like, this is not real. And then she's like, and I was like, maybe these are just cut clips. She has weird transitions into her moves. And it was not true.
But you're going to remember the zero more than you're going to remember a silver medal from surfing, right?
True.
That's a good point.
You know, more like, people so know. She,
yeah, she made her name, you know, like for better or for worse, she's going to get probably some endorsements.
I mean, Subway will pick her up.
She has asked people to stop bullying her because she's being bullied so much
that,
now.
That kind of sucks, yeah.
But if you pay for it, I don't know. If she nepoed her way into the Olympics, man, is she on Full House?
Imagine,
like, what the fuck? Yeah, Lori Loughlin paid for her to get on there.
What if she was the best? What if she just tried out and they were like, "This is our star." Like, because okay, that could be possible.
I got you. I'm going to draw a parallel, and I think Bill will appreciate this. I think that there's a story that they can make about Ray Gunn that is almost identical to the story of Rudy.
Yes! That motherfucker was offsides.
She stalked her way into the school. Yeah. She slept illegally in the maintenance room. She pretended that she fit in there for a long time until they finally decided to let her in the school. And then she had one sack, but the rest of her completely illegitimate career was the dance move on there.
And she's from Australia, which is pretty close to New Zealand. You get that Lord of the Rings tie in there.
Yeah.
She's a fucking hobbit.
I'm just saying, you're on the committee and this is the best you got. And you're like, we could just not send a team this year. And they're like, no, she's not going to get a zero. Like,
but Andy, you know that her husband was like the highest ranking vote on the committee, right?
I do know that, but I'm just saying we didn't get to see the tapes. We don't know who else showed. I mean, because
I
tried out for the Australian team, right? And I feel like her dance moves would have probably been better than mine.
Well, that's true. That's fair.
See, that's what I'm saying.
We all remember that youth fest.
But if the judge is someone who has a vested interest, then they're not going to be as objective as you'd like them to be.
No, exactly. That is very true.
All right, so I have another story here, and it's a sad one, to be honest with you, because you have, you know, a medal-seeking young French man who has worked his way up and just dug in deep and wanted to become the greatest pole vaulter in France.
Oh, no.
However, there was something sinister in his trousers. I'm talking about Anthony Ammirati, who had a very unfortunate incident. Let's just call it out. Dude had a giant dong. Knocked the bar down. He was so close. Though,
who doesn't want to be known as the dude that knocked down the bar with his dong, right? Like, oh, yeah. He could have been a gold medalist, but that penis, that's a gold medal. That thing knocked the bar.
He already won
down.
The Olympics.
Exactly. Yeah. It's
I'm wondering how this works like at home too. Like, is there like a trail of chaos like behind him where like things just start getting knocked over hitting everything with his dick?
I mean, to be fair though too, I mean, if it's that big, why aren't you taping it down? But I mean, you're a professional athlete, all right?
I think it was taped.
What? It's a bit bigger. Oh my god.
Tape gate.
I'm just saying though, out of the two of them, that's the one I want to be remembered as. Oh, he almost made the gold medal, but that penis just too big.
That penis.
Genetics just ruined his chance.
I hope he doesn't go for diving next year.
You're like, oh my goodness.
He hit the water faster than anybody else in the competition.
He sucked him to the bottom. Weights, but it was all natural.
His penis took out a camera on the way
down. I'm just saying, you're going to get better sponsors from that. You know Nike called him and they're like, hold on, we got a whole line of shorts.
We got to just do it here. No doubt about it. Yep, the Dirk Diggler of the Olympics.
I mean, because no one's talking about the gold medal winner, all right? Yeah, like that guy's like, I won gold, but I lost. Yeah. Okay.
Like, you won gold, small pecker. Yeah.
You couldn't get gold with this. You tried.
Oh, ridiculous, but too good. All right. Too good. So, obviously, other...
Too big.
Other fun stuff. Oh, no. Definitely a fun time at the Olympics. Another thing happened that only happens once every 4 years. Nick Cage put out a great film.
Whoa.
I'm talking long legs.
Andy's going to be so mad.
He puts out a good film every year. I mean, granted, he puts out 10, but one of them is always a winner.
I saw Long Legs in the theater last month when it came out. It's Osgood Perkins, who was actually Anthony Perkins from Psycho fame. His son is the writer-director of this film.
Whoa.
And it's set back in 80s, 90s. Nick Cage plays a great weirdo villain in it. And it's a really good, like, it's kind of a get you in the door by saying it's a Silence of the Lambs thriller, but then flips it on its head and goes dark in a very weird way. So just calling it out there. Andy's a big Nick Cage fan.
Yes.
I have to admit, this film was great. I think he does horror best. So go check out Long Legs. Another horrific moment that I got to call out here, and hopefully you guys have all seen the clips here, but let's just say it. Corey Feldman pretending to play guitar solos on stage while they open for Limp Bizkit.
It's so good.
When was that?
So there's a bunch of clips, but basically there's a part where he just starts like hammering like frantically on the fretboard, playing just absolute nonsense, and then starts throwing in a bunch of whammy bars and like kill switches and stuff. And it's just, he thinks he's like shredding, and it's literally like, I think Anthony Amorati could have played the guitar better with his penis. Let's just say.
This is reminding me of like PTSD from Dead Rats days when I'm like, hey guys, I wrote a song.
Yeah. That's another clear lack of self-awareness. I would say that you could probably say that Corey Feldman at this point is basically the Ray Gun of guitar playing. If we can draw that, if we can do a little call back there. Jared, you have to check it out. Just look up Corey Feldman guitar solo. So Corey Feldman's band is opening for Limp Bizkit on tour. And so that's where all these clips are coming from. And it's just, oh, it's atrocious. If anyone hasn't checked it out.
Can I spin off of this one? Has anyone seen what Fred Durst is looking like these days? That's
like
also
the cowboy hat. Is that just the thing now?
Like, he's just straight up cowboy Republican.
Okay. So dad. I did see that then. It was whatever news article I saw where it was like, where you guys said when they opened and closed with the break stuff.
That's a set right there. Yeah. Interesting one. Like, is he aging better than Axl Rose? Like,
well, I mean,
is it like in that
not realm? A race that either of them are going to win? I mean, like,
but we're talking about a similar realm, right? Where you're like, okay, like this is a weird turn to make.
Yeah. Do we think he'll be better in 20 years? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I guess I'm just saying, like, if you saw a recent photo of Rob Zombie and he had like a bald head, you'd be like, whoa, that's a very different weird turn for this person who's been known to look a certain way his entire career.
Yeah.
Like an Axl Rose or a, yeah, anyway, just odd choices. But Fred Durst is a good call out.
Braids for Axl Rose that were more of a shock than anything else, right?
Awful. Awful.
Amazing.
It was a look. It was a look.
Now, I would be remiss if we didn't take a moment to talk about someone near and dear to Andy that passed away during our away time. None other than sweating to the oldies, Richard Simmons. Andy, do you want to eulogize him?
If I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, I love you.
I mean, we wanted him on the pod. I bet he would have done it because we were all big fans. He helped a ton of people. I think it's sad. You know, I think
it's true.
He saved a lot of lives. I mean, not even joking about it. He did. He helped a lot of people lose weight, which definitely extended their life. And I think the world is just a sadder place without him.
Yeah,
I agree. The one person making workout tapes for overweight people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Showed overweight people, talked to them. It was like he took and blended what was like the talk show element and also like a workout tape and put those two things together, which wasn't something that folks were doing. Is like if you had a Jenny Jones or a Sally Jesse Raphael, they would talk to the people about their weight problems and then send them off to go work with somebody else. But Richard Simmons did both.
Yeah.
That was pretty unique and special, and also was a very empathetic person. You could tell that he really felt, because he had his own story where he struggled with this. And I think in a way, like his way of maintaining a healthy lifestyle was like he was motivated by helping others. And so to him, that was like his diet plan was like help other people and that'll motivate me even more. So yeah, definitely a sad one. And I mean, whether Pauly Shore gets the rights to or gets the okay to play him at this point, who knows? But we know that biopic was looming. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and it could be really good.
It depends on how they end it, though. Are they going to end it with the whole like last 5 years where he's been living the life of a hermit?
Probably not. I don't think they do that. But I will say this. I did listen to Pauly Shore and the Crusties. Not so great. I'm like, Pauly, come on, man. I mean, you were hitting him out of the park with Biodome, In the Army Now, I mean, Son-in-Law. And then I'm like, then you put out a record. And this is just, it's not even hard for me to stomach.
Fair. A couple other folks to mention. So since we're fresh on an episode today, I'm going to mention Sid Vicious, Psycho Sid.
Rest in peace, big man.
From WWF, ECW, and WCW fame.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He did them all. Great character wrestler. Mm-hmm. He nailed the whole like bodyguard for Shawn Michaels after Diesel, the whole like extra heel turn. He partnered with Hulk Hogan. He played a great character wrestler no matter where he was. And one of the greatest on mic fuck ups like of all time. Like he was so bad. He had such a great way of speaking, but his ability to like write and read what he wrote was so bad. But it brought great moments, such as We're live, pal.
Yeah.
Which is a huge one. And then one of the best mock ups ever, which is when he's trying to explain that he's twice the man, but he has half the brain. or you're half the man Scott and I Steiner-esque, have half the brain.
Absolutely.
You know, and I know that you're only half the man that I am. And I have half the brain that you do.
Yeah, it was like, made no sense. And I get it, like being on a microphone in front of all those people and trying to say something that makes sense without memorizing it. Ridiculous, but definitely RIP, Psycho Sid.
And you know, can we give a shout out? He always tried to stay in character. Like when, you know, that, what's his name? Busted out of the wall in WCW and Booker T and them are laughing because he fell. The Shocker. Tried to stay in character.
The Shockmaster.
A straight face. The Shockmaster. I mean, the professional till the end.
Yeah.
Truly. Another WCW guy, Kevin Sullivan, who was like, had a creative for a long time. Yeah, he passed too. Like he was with Luna Vachon. For a bit, and he was big. And he was him and Nancy Benoit were together. And then Chris Benoit and her got together. Well, that's the end of that story. So, but Kevin Sullivan was big for WCW though. He's the booker. With Pillman, he's like, don't fire me, Mr. Booker Man.
Not Booker T.
Not Booker T, though. He should have been.
Another person that sadly passed, someone we've talked about on the podcast a few times, especially during our theme song episode, Shannon Doherty.
Yeah.
That one hurt.
Just too young.
Yeah. 90210 cast, man.
Right? They just, whew.
Rough stuff.
Someone who was a little bit on the older side, but still sad to lose, Dr. Ruth.
Yeah. She was awesome.
Some great stuff out there. And then we'll just say, like, probably one of the, like, OG Scream queens, Shelley Duvall. Also another.
Oh, from Shining?
From The Shining. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Popeye. She has some credits out there. Those are probably, like, some of her bigger ones. But, yeah, just lots of folks.
Bill Donahue.
Fuck, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Bill Donahue was awesome.
Some of them did live a pretty long life, though. I mean, like Donald Sutherland. I mean, it was sad to see him go, but I feel like I think he was in his 80s, right?
Dude, Donald Sutherland's the GOAT, man.
Right? I mean, he did a lot of great movies.
So good. And his son, Kiefer, although he's had his problems with alcohol and probably some drugs, like also a fantastic actor. Shout out Lost Boys. I watched it yesterday.
I was going to say, yeah. You know, vampirism being one of those things that haunted him for a long time.
Probably the greatest mullet ever to star in a film.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like top 10.
Like it was Sid Vicious so had a good bleached. Mullet too, though. He had a blonde curly one.
True. Love Sid. All right. Enough with all this tomfoolery. Let's talk about season 3. Mm. So as part of our plans for season 4, a little bit was like, hey, what do we feel worked in season 3? And again, like we're being our own critics here. So that's kind of difficult because we think, and are proud of everything that we put out there.
Yeah.
But we wanted to see, like, is there anything new we wanted to do? Anything we want to repeat? Anything that we want to, like, continue? So just kind of going through some of our favorite moments from season 3 in no, like, specific order, just more to shout some stuff out. I want to call one out real quick to get us started. And I think this is probably the most brilliant thing that Andy's ever said. I mean, he said a lot
what of brilliant said, things.
Anything with a bone should be taking place at home. This was our episode, This or That, where we were contemplating a lot of different polarizing topics. One of them being, are you eating bone in or boneless wings if you go out to a restaurant? And Andy and I were both in the camp of like, I'm not getting all in there with my hands messy if I'm at a restaurant where I need 15 wet naps. Like, that's a home meal. And Andy nailed it on the head.
Right on.
All right, what else is out there?
I would say I still think one of the best moments we had last season was when, and I'm sure the viewers will all agree with me, Bill getting overly upset that none of us knew his high school sweetheart, Margaret Thatcher.
Of the 80s. Dude, okay. Like,
you don't know? The British Prime Minister, she's my BFF, and we dated Margaret Thatcher in high school. It's like, you go to the high school in like the 70s, man. What the fuck are the 60s?
A, fuck you. B, yesterday I went to see Frank Turner in Buffalo, and it was awesome, and there were so many people who knew who the fuck he was. And can also, I, those people are
all
so 10 sweet.
People knew who he was.
Yeah, oh. I gotta throw out a quick. Well, first of all, Bill, I hope that all the people that went to the Frank Turner show knew who he was, just saying that. So I don't know if that's much of a flex. So Abby, Bill, and I all went to go see Sad Summerfest in Worcester. Yeah. And Bill was wearing a Frank Turner shirt. And a guy approached Bill and was like, dude, great shirt. And then proceeded to show him a tattoo. Of a Frank Turner like album cover or whatever, and they bonded for like 3 seconds where I thought they were gonna kiss over Frank Turner. So
there was so many people that I wanted to kiss at that show.
Yeah. That was also an elderly gentleman, just so the viewers know.
There is a thing about the Frank Turner army.
He did wheel over an oxygen tank. That was true. But it was very hot too, so that could have just been
We were all the same demographic, kind of.
But the good news is that some of us have listened to Frank Turner since that episode, and I think we've tripled his plays on Spotify.
Oh, you motherfuckers.
Well, listen, we are the number 2 413 podcast. So, I mean, we Frank did move Turner's up in the rankings. A lot of we did move up in the rankings, and he's getting a lot of hits now. Our viewers are probably listening.
Yep. I hate you all so much.
You're welcome, Frank Turner. All right, great call out, Andy. What else we got?
I would love to shout out all of my favorite episodes, which revolved around food. I think Starch Madness was fantastic, but watching you all eat Bean Boozled was maybe the highlight of my year.
Bean Boozled is definitely on my list, like high up there.
Yeah. And
Starch Madness was the dopest. Like, that was so fun.
An unpleasant time.
I hated participating in Bean Boozled, but the listen back was pretty good, I will say.
Yes, I will agree. Like, hearing Bean Boozled, it's like, yeah, that was a good episode. Being in it, I was like, I'm going to die.
Didn't even eat half of it.
Yeah, you did not eat any of the beans.
Awful. They were, I'm not going to subject myself to that, okay?
Oh, I should say you ate one of the spicy ones.
Oh, God, it was too spicy.
I think you ate most of it.
Too spicy. I couldn't do it. It was too spicy.
No, too spicy. Too sweet.
Margaret Thatcher wouldn't even feed those to children, okay? That woman
She's eating them in hell right now, so it's fine.
All right, so cool. I got to call something out.
Can we say
out.
Her full name? Is that Doc's name?
Yeah, fuck her.
You can say it. I got to call something out, and I guess this isn't to be a dick, although it probably is going to come off to me sounding like a dick, but I kind of want to get some thoughts from you all. Is it wrong if you are a restaurant that takes photos from the internet, from people's websites, from other restaurants, and poses them as your own food on Instagram?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Is there a moral issue there?
You're catfishing without actually a catfish on the menu. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Seems weird.
I'm just going to say that there is a company that we've talked about on this podcast that is currently doing that. I'm not going to name names.
It's not Frank Turner.
It's not Frank Turner.
A hell of an accusation to just throw out there. Not back up with anything.
Well, here's the thing. I will tell you two things.
Hear this.
Number one is if you post a photo, it's very easy to copy that photo and do Google Lens and see exactly where it originated from. So I did this with several photos. And not only were all of them
a regular old monk over here. What the hell are you doing?
Many of them were ripped off from recipes found online, but some were also ripped off from other restaurants. I'm just saying I have a moral dilemma here. And I understand you could just be bad at social media, but like you can take a photo of your own food and post it online and that's okay.
Yeah.
So sorry, I had to throw it out there. I'm not going to name the restaurant. Anyone who has social media, you'll probably know, but.
And you've heard it here first from the second rated 413 podcast. I mean, we broke the story of the food pictures.
Yeah. I was saddened to see it. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, that's our reputation they're tarnishing. They were on our show.
I know.
Mentioned on our show.
I know. Sad.
Yeah. Reviewed.
They were reviewed. And I would like to say another great moment was when I finally won a game. And then Wick disputed that. And then he never told us when he was going to redo the recording, if he was going to keep a tally. So as all the viewers know, I won that game.
I mean, you could listen to yourself, Andy, and count.
I'm not going to tally it. I didn't question the results.
There were two episodes where I gave the right answer and Abby gave it to Bill. So I don't know.
I don't think that's true at all. I think Abby is a fair and balanced judge.
There was definitely the Whitney Houston one. Yeah.
There was another one.
I did not hear you say it, though.
No, I don't. I'm not blaming you.
No one else
you.
Heard it either.
I just, after I said it, I was like, I did say that. And everyone's like, no, you didn't.
I'm like, oh, I think it was just louder.
I will not say that there is a correlation with the scoring of the games and who is willing to go on my adventures most often. That those things definitely, there's no correlation between the people who humor me the most. And
it was a great moment. It was a real David and Goliath moment. Like everyone's like, oh, everyone's got a drinking game. And like every time Andy gets it wrong, I got to take a shot. And no one was drunk that night. And they were,
well,
I think Andy
no one went to the hospital with alcohol poisoning.
Okay, there we go.
I'm just going to do another callback here. Andy pulled a Rudy on us all. We let him play and he got a sack. That's it. Yeah, yeah. He was offsides, but he got the sack. Well, really, it was half sack.
Yeah. Listen, exactly. It was no pole vaulting here, okay? If I was pole vaulting, I would have been gold, okay? Let's just put it at that.
I don't know Andy or knows when he hit the bar.
That's true.
I want to give it a shout out to our
nice
boy
Joe. Bill, thank you.
The music ones with Tales from the Pits with Joe Brennan, Joe again. It was so much fun, just like reminiscing of the Pittsfield punk scene, and it just so good, like reliving some of the stories and everything. And it feels like a lot of people like gave some really positive feedback on that. So I was really stoked about that.
Yeah. And stay tuned, because we've solidified a few guests already for our future Tales from the Pits. So we're pretty excited
about
that.
Wait.
We might not announce them yet, but we're definitely doing some more episodes upcoming.
And if we're going to talk about our guests from Tales of the Pits, we also have to acknowledge our female guests that joined us.
Yes.
And took some of the pressure off of Andy and I to bring the feminine energy to the podcast. Having Christina and Liz on the pod were some of my favorite parts, healing some 16-year-old drama via the pod.
I thought it was great because I mean, Christina's freaking lime green car always brought a smile to my face. So it was so funny when she's like, I hated the color of that car. And all I'm thinking is like, I love the color of that car because we lived close to each other. And I'm like, I'd see that thing drive by. I'm like, it's Christina's lime green car.
It's funny that like something like that is something I completely forgot about until you guys started talking about it, and then it like came back like a boomerang. I'm like, oh my God, I remember that green car like it was yesterday. Yeah. It's just funny how that kind of stuff works, where you bury it deep in your memory bank and all of a sudden just talking to your, and this is the thing, it's like, if you see friends often, I guess you're probably just talking about current shit happening, like, and maybe tell a couple stories, but in this format, you get to kind of like go specifically into a time and discuss it at length. And I really like that aspect of doing this show, because I feel like we don't necessarily get to talk about, like, I don't know all of Bill's favorite albums from the 2000s. And maybe it's not something that ever come up in conversation, but doing this podcast and learning about that. I mean, first of all, I was a little bit judgmental and I apologize about that, Bill. We went hard on Bill in the last episode. But to Andy's point, no one knew who Frank Turner and Margaret Thatcher were. Come on, let's be real. We don't live in the UK.
Sons of bitches.
Margaret Thatcher were.
I mean, I get it. A lover scorned, Bill. You never got over it. She dumped you for somebody else, and it was hard for Frank Turner.
Ronald Reagan.
Oh, was it Reagan? He was an actor, though. I mean,
never mind.
Great actor, by the way.
Yeah.
Acted like president for many years. Agreed there, Abby. I had those two episodes as some of my favorites on the list. Our first and our guilty pleasures. Love guilty pleasures. Although I'm embarrassed because now there's more and more people that I know that listen to our podcast. And I'm just thinking like, I never want to run into blank person because I don't want them to be like, oh my God, I like R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet 1-5 too. I'll never live that one down, but it happened. Jared, dare I ask, did you have a favorite episode to do from this season or listen to?
Got a lot of mileage out of the Hiya from Andy's Pink Ranger.
So that was from our greatest TV show theme songs of the 90s?
Oh, I think so.
Right?
Pink Ranger represent. That was my girl.
We did get a lot of mileage out of that. I don't think I'm going to remove it. I think it's going to stay until we come up with the next Hiya. Maybe I'll go to Aru for Bill. Yeah, it's funny because those two episodes that we did for the 80s and 90s TV show theme songs, like, two things happened. Number one is a lot of shows that existed in the 90s also existed in the 80s. So we stole a lot of the good ones for the 80s. And then by the time we got to the 90s, we're like, dude, the fucking 90s theme song sucked.
Yeah, they're not as good.
Because they weren't paying bands to do the music. Like, you got to have a professional. You got to pay him a good amount of money and say, hey, rock out, all right, to this.
Yeah, it was a disappointing list, but the Power Rangers came out and Andy gave us that excellent Pink Ranger impression. Just soared to the top of the charts.
That's what elevated us from number 3 413 podcast to number 2.
So I want to call out a quick moment that I think was mostly censored, and I don't even think really made it very far onto the podcast without there being a lot of hilarity, but I'm just going to call it out from our Guilty Pleasures episode with Liz, the famous Moses's brisk.
I got the shirt on. For the viewers.
Do I give the behind the scenes here, or are we just leaving this a mystery?
I think you got to go back and listen.
We didn't explain it.
Yeah.
I think you should explain it because I want to relive it.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to do it real quick. And Andy, I'll need you for the sound bites here.
Got it.
So we had just started writing intros and we're like, oh, this will be fun to do for each other. And it was Andy's turn to write intros. And I was like, Andy, we should write some roast jokes together. And that'll be kind of fun. So Andy's like, sure. So I had a couple ideas and I sent them over. And Andy like confirmed with me, like, got them, nailed them, ready to roll, practiced them. We're ready to do this on the podcast. So mind you, it's Liz's first time on the podcast seeing like how we do these episodes. And it's like, oh, okay, that's how you do it. You like all just sit there on Zoom and talk about this and it becomes a show. And Andy starts reading the intros and immediately bombs the first one. And I'm like, we have to redo it because we wrote a joke. It can't not be there. So I'm like, Liz, bear with us. We're going to have Andy re-record this joke. I'm like, we don't normally go back and re-record things. We're a pretty live, unscripted podcast, but just the fact that we wrote a roast joke, we got to get it right. And Andy proceeded to read it incorrectly two additional times. Andy, do you remember the joke?
This is why we no longer have the intros.
Yeah, the intros are gone because of Andy. No.
I still think I nailed it. Because the joke was, he was there for Moses's brisk. It's Bill. And then you're like the iced tea. And I'm like, I mean, I'm Catholic. I don't really know what goes on in a brisk. But who am I to judge? Lipton is part of it.
Right on. Yeah.
So there you have it. Andy does not know the difference between a bris and a brisk. So after we explained to him 12 times, he finally was like, oh, I hear what I'm saying now. And we were laughing so hard and so far into that moment that another small clip came out, which was that we were trying to make a joke about Abby making out with a lot of dudes back in her teenage years. All right. That was the premise of the joke. And we were trying to say that she is the Mario Lemieux of tonsil hockey, right? Famous hockey player.
Hold on. Pittsburgh. Not everyone knows that though.
You claim you did.
I had no idea who he was.
I mean, it's pretty pop culture.
We were trying to get away from like the most obvious. We weren't going to give like a Bobby Hall or is it Brett Hall?
Who's Bobby Hall?
Brett Hall.
Yeah.
Wayne Gretzky.
Or Bobby Hall.
Okay. Or Wayne Gretzky.
So anyway, we went with Mario Lemieux. And so Andy proceeds to say, Mario Leguizamo. And that obviously wasn't right. And so poor Liz is sitting there not knowing what's going on. We're trying to re-record the next segment here, which is Mario Leguizamo. And it turns out that we were all laughing so hard and it took us so long to get Andy to get these right that he forgot to make the best part of the joke, which is of tonsil hockey. He just said the Mario Leguizamo of the podcast, which made absolutely no sense to anybody. But alas, we've made several references in our future episodes, and we probably will continue to. So if you weren't tracking at this point, that is the story behind Moses's brisk and Mario Leguizamo.
Listen, I think it's the things that make us stand out in the podcast world, you know?
Our fuck-ups, yes.
We're not just out there trying to be perfect. We're just trying to be us, you know? We're doing our thing. And I want to say, we do our thing so well. The vice president came to Pittsfield. And I mean, unfortunately, we were unavailable. But she wanted to be on the pod, but we were on break.
Well,
we apologize.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Was that Mario Leguizamo?
That's right.
That's a meatball in a cup, right? At Subway? Order that. It's on the hidden menu. I feel
like that was amazing with Christina, too. Is it's like, when she's like, I just said, hey, my sister's got to come to work too. And as a parent, I'm like, you know what? Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. The 90s were a wild time. I'll just say that, Christina, I'm hoping you're listening. Like, we absolutely will have you back for an episode this season. Whatever you want to talk about, as long as it involves meatballs and a lime green car, like, we're all in. Love to have you back. We had a lot of fun with that one.
And unfortunately, your sister does have to come, and we're going to have her on Zoom, but she's going to have to be muted because she's going to only be able to eat meatballs.
She just has to watch while you're on the
air. She's got to watch.
She's come to work with you. That's all.
She's got to come to work.
Perfect. All right. Love that. All right. What else? Can I just throw one out there? Maybe because it'll inspire some moments, but Andy's doxing.
Oh, yeah.
Just like as a whole. Like so many people.
He doxed himself.
He doxed himself, his dad, his aunt.
Yeah. Well,
his mom.
From his dad to, yeah, exactly. From his family to himself. Because it's like, wait, that would be said relative, therefore that's you.
Yeah.
I also like all the times that Andy said in the podcast, it's okay, Wick will edit that out. And then it makes the final cut. That might be my favorite season three reoccurring bit we did.
For the record, I only like to edit something if it was horribly offensive or we dox somebody that we can't go back from.
Yeah. When Andy's like, oh, that guy's a douchebag. You're like, oh.
We kept some of those in, unfortunately.
I heard some of those. Listen, all right.
Apologize to the forge, Andy. Just do it. We know what you did.
I'm not. I don't know his name to say it.
Well, Andy's sorry. He said something terrible about the owner of the forge.
I mean, it wasn't that terrible.
It was a hot take.
Okay. It was a hot take.
Very hot take.
Right.
Which was also another moment that was pretty excellent that I think was one of like 17 times that I cried laughing on the podcast, which was Andy trying to convince us that a hot dog was a sandwich during a Halloween hot take episode.
I mean, I think it was a classic. I didn't do the homework assignment and I'm, you know, I'm here at the Olympics trying to dance around.
You end up finding that as a question.
Give me the ray gun.
Give me the gun. The ray gun. I got this.
Yeah, we Jared just said we found this. That was a hot take on the hot takes game that we played for our Friday the 13th
Bean Boozled. Like a month later, yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Listen, you know, just trying to add a little spice and, you know, get the homework done 2 minutes before it's due. I'm in the hall. Like, you know, hold on.
Speaking of doing the homework 2 minutes before, I did send everyone an assignment prior to this podcast, and only two of you did it.
No, three of us did.
Yeah, I haven't.
I was
my
one.
Phone.
I did.
I mean, you did do it.
Grab it.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And he did it, and then Jared, I said, "Ew." After
I left my phone here before I left, so I haven't had it since like 4 o'clock.
I feel like
Jared, you can just do it now and I'll just cut it
out. I'm right under the
as a
what the fuck?
Sorry. Is it doxing though?
I didn't get first
name. That's 100% doxing.
But that could be a first name.
No, like, no.
How is the a first name? Oh, sorry.
Could be him. Could be him.
Okay. So Andy's two words that he sent, I thought they were pertaining to the.
Oh!
Stop doxing.
I'm not the only one that docks. This is going to be a lot of whistle takes.
Yeah, there's three of us that dock.
Why not know the joke, but it sort of makes sense.
Yeah. Yep.
That's got to
I mean, sense. So Jared is the only one that did not do the homework assignment.
He didn't have his phone.
Because he didn't have his phone. That's where. We're doxing him right now. The viewers know Jared's phone went missing.
No, you found it.
Please message us on Instagram.
Do not message on Instagram. Andy doesn't use the Instagram.
Get shit to yourself.
Man.
All right, are you doing something with those things that you asked for, Abby?
Well, I was going to, but now I was thinking that we could set intentions for the podcast and our personas for the podcast for the next year. Okay. And that was my initial goal. And then I got your suggestions. And I also asked Liz to do one for me so that I would have one without having to pick my own. But judging from what we all submitted, no, this was a terrible idea.
Okay.
We should do it anyways.
I think we should do it now. Now that we know it's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I think, well, I think that you should do your vision word for this season of the podcast for each of you.
Wait, is that what we sent?
All right. Other favorite moments.
All of them. That's right. The guy who didn't read the book. I love it all. It's great. It's a great book. All the moments with the little women being so little in such a big world.
What the fuck?
I always like the holiday ones. They're hella yes, fun.
The holiday ones were hella fun. Hella yeah. fun. You know, trying not to dox the family this year, I feel like is a goal of mine.
You got this, man. I got faith in you.
All right. I'll call out one other one. I liked the 90s episode, Things We Missed from the 90s. That was a fun trek down memory lane, too.
Yeah.
Some stuff that I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And it was funny. I was actually in Target the other day, and they still have Goober on the top shelf. And I was like, oh, I want it so bad. Mm-hmm. And the reason I got it back in my attention is, can I just throw this out there? So you guys were all like, oh, who the fuck eats Goober? You looked at me like I was trashy. You know who eats Correct. Goober?
Who?
Don't care.
A highly intelligent and magical young girl named Matilda. Heard of her? Yeah, she had a fucking Goober sandwich in that.
Was she eating it in the chokey?
She was a traumatized little girl. She wasn't fucking normal.
You want to say she had neglectful parents? No, she didn't. They bought her Goober.
I definitely do think she had neglectful parents.
I mean, I think that was the definition of neglectful. Like, yeah. Isn't that why they passed laws?
Was some kind of horror movie?
So that is kind of a hot take. So you're saying that the parents are so neglectful yeah. that they're like, why would we buy separate peanut butter and jelly? Oh, wow. You guys just shocked me there.
I mean, you've got to put sawdust in the engine so you don't hear the clanking sound. All right? That's how sketchy your dad was, okay?
Yeah, Goober seems cost effective in the moment.
It does for horrible people who don't want to take the time to buy two jars. Boy. And spread love on their children's sandwiches.
Well, actually, I mean, that's kind of, it's good for the environment that you only have one.
You're going to go through the same amount of peanut butter and jelly. You would just have two jars of yeah. Goober also, as opposed to a jar of peanut butter and a jar of jelly.
And you can get the economy peanut butter that's like, like a year's worth for like $2.
Not in this economy.
Yeah,
what economy are you talking Thank you. About? At Aldi you can. Where are you guys shopping? Jesus Christ. You got to go Not to Aldi.
Do they got Goober?
No.
They have Gif peanut butter, not Jif.
They would never have Goober because they're a good establishment. They're a quality grocery store.
Have you tasted their Melman's mayonnaise? Very good. Super good.
They have a doll there. It's weird. It's called Tickle Me Elemento. It's like kind of like Tickle Me Elmo, but it's different.
Sounds like something at amazing.net. All right. So I want to quickly end us off here by saying we've got a couple like teasers I'll throw out to you guys for season four. Just a couple things we're thinking about doing. We're getting together again on Friday the 13th, or at least we're going to talk about Friday the 13th related things because we have one in September. So
yeah.
Excited for that
yes,
one.
Yes, I wrote it on my calendar.
Thank you. We're going to obviously do a Halloween special. One of our favorites there. We're going to do more Berkshires and Pittsfield content, including some more food challenges potentially, and also just shopping. There's a lot of thrifty, cool places in Pittsfield that
yeah
we want to talk about, like where to find cool retro vintage things, and definitely want to give you guys some tips there. Lots of television and movie related things I think are upcoming. Just some like memory stuff. Anyway, nope. We'll get to that. And then definitely more games this season. We have some ideas for some new games or just doing some old games with some new twists.
Oh, God.
We're excited about that.
Anybody but, win again?
Yeah. I'm going to win again. One.
As I mentioned, we've lined up some Tales from the Pits guests for this season. We're really excited. We've signed on for two coming on as a pair. We're getting two together on one episode. To talk about their experience.
I feel like there's so many good pairs that could be too. Yeah. So many good pairs.
So we'll leave that out there. So let's just say for season four, strap on your titty bear because we're going for a ride.
Voice.
Enjoy the rest of your evening and we'll see you again soon. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Hiya.
With all the power you're releasing, it isn't safe to walk the city streets alone. Anticipation's running through me. Let's find the key to this engine. Friday and all the stillness. I get nightmares. I hate to sleep alone.